We shall now turn to Isaiah 53, and our text for this morning is verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Today we meet around the Lord's table in order to carry out the instruction of Christ. He commanded us, do this in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We are to remember Christ's death and to rejoice in it, to celebrate it. Nothing more glorious ever took place than the death of Christ. The death of Christ achieved victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Victory over death and the grave. The death of Christ earned salvation for every single one of his people. So we wish to praise him for his great sufferings and his amazing death. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And there's no passage in the whole of Scripture that deals so fully with the work of Christ as Isaiah 53. It's amazing to think that this chapter was written 800 years before Christ died on the cross. And yet, in intimate detail, it deals with the suffering of our Savior. Every single verse speaks so clearly and so graphically about what he did for us. Oppressed and afflicted, led as a lamb to the slaughter, taken from prison and from judgment, cut off out of the land of the living, making his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, but he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He would die, he would rise, he would see the victory that he had accomplished. He would see his people being born again and brought into his church. It's a wonderful chapter. This morning, though, we wish to concentrate particularly on verse 6. It sets before us, first of all, the horrible mess that we were in. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Adam, before the fall, was perfect. He was in bliss. It was paradise. He was righteous, sinless, and pure. He had fellowship with God. He was God-like. But then, like a sheep, he went astray. He wandered away. He chose his own way. He listened to another voice, the voice of the wolf in sheep's clothing, the voice of the thief and the false shepherd. You shall not surely die. You shall be as God, knowing good and evil. He chose his own way, and he ate the forbidden fruit. And so since that day, every one of us are born children of Adam, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're born lost sheep, wandering away further and further away from the Good Shepherd. All we, every single one of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Some it's more obvious in their lives than others. Some are very rebellious in the way they turn their back upon the church, upon the Bible, upon the law of God, and trample their conscience underfoot. They want to be free. They want to do their own thing. They're very obviously lost sheep. Like the publicans and the harlots, the thieves and the prostitutes in the time of Christ. Sinners. Everyone knew they were sinners. Jesus told the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. The man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And when he got his money, he went into a far country, wandered away, chose his own road, his own life, freedom, freedom to sin, freedom to please himself, eating and drinking and making merry, spent all the money on immorality, drink and drugs and so forth. Obviously, lost, the lost sheep. In the far country. But then there are other lost sheep, and they're like the older son, who was always good living and respectable, and who seemed to be obedient to his father, and who never wandered far from the father's house, and yet he had no love for the father. He had no delight in the things of God. He was grumbling and discontented. "I've served you all these years, and what good has it done me?" He delighted in the pleasures of the world, just like his younger brother, although there was a kind of restraint keeping him back. He was self-righteous, trusting in himself. So there's many different kinds of lost sheep in the world. Good living lost sheep, bad living lost sheep, average lost sheep, ordinary lost sheep. But they're all lost sheep. And every man and woman that enters this world is by nature a lost sheep. You and I, that's the way we have been, or that's the way we are. Astray from what we should be, where we should be, and in a sense, helpless to return. You know, in that chapter, Luke chapter 15, where we have the three parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the lost son, we have also the parable of the lost coin. And what does that parable illustrate? Well, one thing it certainly shows us is that once the coin is lost, it can never find its way back to the purse. In a sense, you can think of the lost sheep making its way home, or the lost son coming to his senses and heading back to the father's house. But there's another aspect to it. The coin that's fallen into a corner, dead. Helpless until the house is searched and the coin is found and lifted and put back where it should be. And there is a very real sense in which all of us by nature are like the lost guy. We need God to work in us. And it is to God that we must give all the glory. For by nature, we are dead. Spiritually dead. Unable to seek God. Unable to walk in God's ways. Unable to repent. Unable to believe. And at the same time, culpable for our inability. Because we're all responsible. And there's a judgment day ahead. And it's not far from any one of us. We think of that horrific occurrence at Orlando in Florida. We think of those people who went out a week ago there to the nightclub for a party, enjoying themselves, and immorality and pleasure. 2 o'clock on Sunday morning, in the midst of all their frivolity and pleasure and music and dancing and carrying on, suddenly a gun starts firing, and before long 50 of them are dead. 50 of them have gone to meet their Maker. And where are they today? In hell? Maybe all of them. We don't know. It's not for us to say. But we know that if somebody dies without repenting and believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will certainly be in hell. How quickly. We think of that Member of Parliament, Joe Cox, just the other day, on her way to a surgery, going about her usual course of life, in her work, and suddenly, unexpectedly, this horrific attack upon her. And she's face to face with our Maker. We do not know when the end will come. We do not know when a heart attack or a stroke or a car accident, or we could fall and bang our head, or one thing or another could happen and we're gone. Gone. Any opportunity of mercy is gone forever. The day of grace has passed. And we're face to face with our Creator. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The awfulness of eternity. All we like sheep have gone astray. Turned everyone to his own way. By nature, we're on the road to hell. We might be really nice people, respectable, moral and upright, kind and honest and church-going, and saying our prayers and all the rest of it, but if we do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we're lost. We might not be the kind of people who engage in adultery or immorality or drunkenness or drugs or stealing or whatever. But every one of us by nature is proud, is covetous, is deceitful, is self-centered, is unbelieving. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. But who can do that? The horrid mess we are in by nature. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his or her own way. Selfish, sinful, idolatrous, ungodly, unbelieving, sinful ways. But secondly, we notice here the gracious love of God. God sees nothing in us to attract him. He sees us as sinners with all our rebelliousness, with all our guilt, with all our hell-deserving behavior and attitudes. He sees us wanting our own way, wanting to be free from restrictions, wanting to do what we like. And yet, he loves us. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The report, the good news, the plan of salvation. Before we were born, God devised this plan whereby his Son would come and die on the cross for sinners. He would take our place, take our nature, take our sin, take our guilt, take our punishment. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That wonderful plan to save, God's divine election from all eternity, setting his love upon us before we were born, our iniquity laid upon Christ. We were doomed, but he took our doom. The God of grace, the God of mercy, the God of salvation, the God of love, taking human nature, taking the place of a servant, taking our sin, the sin which he hated, detested, was an abomination to him. He took that filth, he took that guilt, he took that all that burden of uncleanness upon himself. He took the very curse of God upon himself, the wrath of God. Took our sin, placed upon the head of Jesus Christ, his Son. All we like sheep. Didn't take the sins of everyone. If he took the sins of everyone, everyone would be saved. But all we like sheep. He hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was made a ransom for many. Not for all, but for many. He could have saved all if he had chosen to. He could have saved none if he had chosen to. God would be just if he sent every single one of us to hell. And God would be just if he saved every single one of us through Jesus Christ. But for his own glory and in his own wisdom, he chose some. And how thankful we should be that amongst the many he could have chosen, that he should have chosen you and me. You and me, who are the least deserving that he could possibly choose. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of some of the worst sinners that ever walked this planet. People like Manasseh, the king, who made Jerusalem run with the blood of the godly ones. People like Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor and blasphemer. People like the thief who died beside Jesus on the cross all his life, an evildoer and a criminal. People like the Philippian jailer who'd lived a rough life, and when he first came in contact with the Apostle Paul, the godly apostle, he put his feet fast in the stocks, closed him up in the inner prison. But God's love reaching even to the worst. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And there's no sinner who's so great a sinner that Christ cannot save them. Just as there's no unconverted person who is such a good unconverted person that they will be saved without Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And there is none other name given under heaven among men through whom we must be saved. Only the one name, only the one Savior, only the way God has planned, the way God himself has worked it out for us on the cross, in the glory and the beauty of the work of redemption. Jesus died to save sinners. And it's through that salvation alone that we can be saved. The gracious love of God. So we saw first our own rottenness and sinfulness and going astray. And now the grace of God laying our iniquity upon Christ. And so thirdly, the sufferings and death of our Savior. The plan of God was that God the Son should take human nature, that he should become a man. And having become a man, that he should be tempted in all points like as we are. That he should suffer and be humbled and humiliated, tested to the limits, and he endured the test. And that then the sins of his people should be placed upon the Son of God. And then, having our sin, that he should be punished for our sins. In one sense, Jesus Christ is the greatest sinner there ever was. And yet he never sinned. How amazing. Covered with all the filth of your sin and my sin, standing before a holy God, condemned for our sins. In my room, condemned he stood. And the wrath and curse of God poured out upon him without dilution. And all its awfulness, so that he cried out, I am a worm and no man, reduced to such a low condition that he was like a worm, the most despised of all creatures, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was made sin. He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin. And he stands in all that sinfulness before God. And God pours upon him his wrath and his curse. And all hell, as it were, is poured upon him so that he cries out in the end, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All the darkness of the pit, all the fires of hell burning in his soul. The scourging was bad. The crown of thorns was bad. The nails piercing his hands and his feet were bad. Far worse than these was the wrath and curse of God in his soul. The sufferings of his soul were the soul of his sufferings, the very center of his sufferings, bearing our sins on the cross of Calvary. Surely he hath borne our griefs, verse 4, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted by God. It was a divine smiting. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes and lashes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep dumb before his shearers, so he openeth not his mouth. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. How could it possibly please God to bruise his son? Who can understand that? It pleased the Father to bruise his son. Why? Why? Because it pleased the Father to save you and me. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. He suffered much from the hands of men. He suffered much from the hands of devils, but he suffered most from the hands of his Father. Remember what the old negress said. He died, me no die. He died, me no die. Remember my death till I come. Till I come the second time. Till I come to take it to be with myself. Remember it. He died. We live. He died. We have heaven. He went through hell. We have paradise. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's been our life, isn't it? And sadly, even still after our conversion, Is it not often true of us? We go astray. We're not where we should be. We're not doing what we should be. We're going astray. We're backsliding. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. They shouted, come down from the cross and we will believe in thee. Why could he not come down from the cross? What were the nails that kept him attached to that cross that would not allow him to come down? Your sins and mine. Our sins nailed him to that tree. And nailed to that tree, he had to suffer. He bore our sins in his own body on the cross. And this is what we are remembering today, what we're rejoicing in, a body broken for us and blood shed for you and me.